We have to get on our own resources in America. If we do, we can cut out 60% of OPEC oil.
Oil, natural gas, wind, water, solar, nuclear. Industries of energy. Energy.
We've got fantastic opportunities to use new technologies to secure the American people and at the same time be better stewards of the environment.
You have questions. We have answers.
Listen carefully.
You can't really be against hydrofracking and say you're an environmentalist because immediately the default options are fuels that are much less clean.
For the next hour, Sean Wilson and Butch Black explore the energy industry with news and interviews from around the corner and around the globe.
Nuclear is one of the directions that we should innovate in.
The Exploring Energy Show begins now.
And now it is. Glad to have you on this Monday morning, ladies and gentlemen. Sean Wilson, Butch Black, Jen Brewski. And we're glad you made us a part of your day already. I'm going to get this old Facebook thing up and going. There we go. And Butch Black in the house, ladies and gentlemen.
I'm here.
Had a kid.
I think.
You sweat off a few pounds this weekend?
Yeah, well, yeah. Didn't take much.
It was hot.
Breathing
hot.
Would make you sweat.
Boy, isn't that the truth. Yesterday wasn't too bad with that cloud cover, but boy, no. When that sun poked out, it got a little sweltery.
Yeah, I didn't stay outside long yesterday.
I don't blame you. Well, Butch, give us some good news.
I can't.
Come on, man.
It's Monday.
Yeah, one job to do.
It's Monday. You know how they are over the weekend. They just go stupid. Right now, WTI crude on the NYMEX August exchange is down 42 cents to 40.13. Brent crude on the ICE September exchange is down 45 cents to 42.79. NYMEX natural gas on the August exchange is down 3 cents to $1.78. But
okay. Still,
it's down to $1.78, not $1.59 or $1.62. So.
Well, I have some good news for our listeners.
Good.
Rig count's up. Mike Hunter is going to be joining us in this next segment. No, rig count is down, but slightly, from 263 to 258, down 5 drilling rigs on the Baker Hughes rig count here on this Monday morning. This rig count gets released Friday afternoon. After our show, so we give it to you on Monday morning or try to. Of those, 181 are drilling for oil, 75 for gas, 2 geothermal wells still listed on the sheet here as miscellaneous. Let's get to the state-by-state variances. Alaska State steady with 3 active drilling rigs, California with 4. Colorado has 5, same as it was a week ago. Louisiana unchanged at 31. Looks like Kansas gained 3 rigs from 5 a week ago to 8 today, or this week, so that's good news. New Mexico gained 1 from 48 to 49. North Dakota stayed steady at 10. Ohio stayed steady at 8. Oklahoma also unchanged at 10 active drilling rigs. Pennsylvania has 22 rigs drilling. Texas has 107. That's down 5 from a week ago. Utah stayed steady at 0. West Virginia lost 1 from 6 down to 5. And Wyoming gained 1, gained 1 from 0 to 1 this week. Still 125 in the Permian Basin. 9 in the Eagleford. 33 in the Haynesville. 27 in the Marcellus. 10 in the Williston. So, there's your Baker Hughes rig count here on this Monday morning. Down a little bit, but not like drastically like we were seeing there for a moment. So we'll wait and see if some things will turn around, Butcher.
Well, I was just looking here. Oil slips as traders eye supply cut easing at OPEC meeting. Of course, you know, this is July. And oil slipped in early Asian trade on Monday as traders eyed an OPEC technical meeting this week, which is expected to recommend an easing in supply cuts that have been propping up crude prices. Brent crude fell 27 cents to $42.97 a barrel by 1:14 Greenwich Mean Time, while U.S. West Texas Intermediate crude was at $40.27 a barrel, down 28 cents. Oil was little changed last week as a resurgence of coronavirus cases prompted several U.S. states to impose tighter travel restrictions that could dampen oil demand recovery at the world's largest consumer. However, prices rose more than 2% on Friday after an upward revision by the International Energy Agency in its 2020 oil demand by 400,000 barrels per day. Oil prices have recovered sharply from multi-decade lows in April after the Organization of the Petroleum Exporting Countries and allies, including Russia, a group known as OPEC Plus, cut output by a record 9.7 million barrels per day for 3 months since May. OPEC's Joint Ministerial Monitoring Committee will meet on Tuesday and Wednesday to recommend the next level of cuts. OPEC and Russia were expected to ease their supply cuts as global oil demand has recovered and prices have bounced back. The planned easing of OPEC Plus production cuts next month and a potential rebound in U.S. production could add pressure on the supply side of the equation, Stephen Enns, chief global market strategist at Axicorp, said in a note. Libya exported its first crude cargo in 6 months on Friday after a blockade by Eastern forces, but then reimposed force majeure on all oil exports on Sunday. Its National Oil Corp accused the United Arab Emirates of instructing the Eastern forces in Libya's civil war to reimpose the blockade. Oh, okay. Well, yeah, we just blockade your hiney.
Yeah. Well.
Don't know what to tell them. You know, it's just, life's tough for them.
Yeah, yeah. They're in that rock and a hard place. Yeah. Now, self-imposed. Court decisions give Enviros hope that natural gas pipelines can be further delayed or halted in New Jersey. Nine pipeline projects are pending in Garden State, but clean energy advocates say recent court rulings elsewhere in the U.S. strengthen the case against them. This is a sad state of affairs, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. But for the past few years, opponents waged a mostly unsuccessful fight in the courts to block new pipeline constructions across New Jersey and elsewhere, proposed in the wake of a boom in the cheap new natural gas supplies. Last month, however, there's been a reversal of sorts. Environmentalists and local communities won victories against three major fossil fuel pipeline projects, suggesting the once rapid growth in natural gas infrastructure may slow as states shift to cleaner sources of energy. Good luck with that. And as opponents become more adept at using regulatory and legal tools to delay and in some cases kill pipelines. Earlier this month, Duke Energy and Dominion Energy decided to abandon the 600-mile Atlantic Coast Pipeline project, which would have transported gas to customers in Virginia and North Carolina. The project proposed in 2014 was canceled after the two utilities said delays in permitting and the courts have nearly doubled its cost to $8 billion. The announcement came despite the two energy companies winning a victory in the U.S. Supreme Court in June, which upheld a permit they obtained from the U.S. Forest Service involving the project crossing the Appalachian Trail and other environmentally sensitive lands. It really highlights just how many hurdles you have to clear before you get to put a shovel in the ground, said Paul Patterson, an energy analyst at Glenrock Associates in New York. There's so much red tape associated with these projects that they can be tied up for years, he said. The announcement was followed Monday by a ruling from a federal judge that ordered the 1,172-mile Dakota Access crude oil pipeline from North Dakota to Illinois shut down and fuel drained from it, handing a victory to the Standing Rock Sioux tribes, which challenged the Trump administration's approval of the project, which that's a situation where they first time ever they stopped oil flowing in a pipeline that was already in service.
Well, they're going to.
Yeah, I mean, that's their that's their plan. I did see a story over the weekend where a U.S. judge has cleared the way for an appeal on that situation because the district court judge won't stay his order. So, you know what? It was bailed a little early. We have Attorney General Mike Hunter on the phone. When we come back, we'll join him, talk about a lot of things that are happening now in our state on the legalistic side of things. Don't you dare go anywhere. Exploring Energy will continue in a moment.
The Exploring Energy Show with Sean and Butch.
Hey, Nate, you want to go eat?
Where do you want to go?
I'm thinking Home Cooking Cafe, 6, 8, and 9 p.m. Could you eat in between that window?
You know, that's my sweet spot for eating, 6 in the morning till 9 at night. How many days a week are they open?
That is 7 days a week.
You know, it occurs to me, we've had a lot of sales meetings at Home Cooking Cafe, and I think I've got down what everybody I work with eats. Randy, he was just bragging about Texas fried chicken.
Randy likes the fried Texas chicken.
But he said his wife likes the grilled Texas chicken. Sean, he is all over those eggs and toast.
Well, when he sets down and orders 14 eggs, they said the chicken only laid 12. He goes for the second chicken. I like the old all-meat omelet for breakfast because, you know, I can get that all day. I can get it in the morning or I can get it at night. All-meat omelet.
Of course, you know me. I'm a bacon cheeseburger guy. Who doesn't like a good bacon cheeseburger? Who doesn't like bacon? Who doesn't like cheeseburgers? Who doesn't like them together?
Janice and Johnny, they are tearing it up out there. Janice can serve it up with the best of them. Johnny, there ain't a cook that can touch him. Home Cooking Cafe, inside the Clarion Inn on the south side of Elk City.
The only thing hotter in July in Oklahoma are the deals at Barber Dyson Ford in Elk City. Hi, this is Corbin Dyson. Summer is heating up and so are the rebates and interest rates. Save thousands and get 0% interest on almost every vehicle in stock. And as for great pre-owned selection, we got them. Come in and help us move all our 2020 inventory and save big doing it. The vehicles of your dreams with huge rebates and 0% interest. Now that's how we celebrate summer. Hurry to Barber Dyson Ford in Elk City and experience the difference.
Napa know-how. Get all the quality parts you need at your locally owned Napa. Because right now, when you order from Napa online, you can pick up curbside at your local store in just 30 minutes. Or get your order delivered direct to your door with free one-day shipping and over 160,000 quality parts when you spend $50 or more. Quality parts delivered quickly and safely. That's Napa know-how.
Napa know-how.
At participating stores, standard ground shipping and exclusions apply.
Have you witnessed in all your time here a customer just getting so excited about finding the thing she or he really wanted?
That's a daily thing here at Terry's Furniture. The person that buys a $300 couch is just as excited as the person that buys a $2,000 couch. It's going in their home with their family. It's part of their life for the next however many years. So, yes, people get excited when they make a purchase. They're happy to find something because a lot of times they've looked other places and haven't found what they need. They've been to a place that has a lot of contemporary furniture. Contemporary is not a great seller in Western Oklahoma, and yet many stores in the big cities have a lot of contemporary furniture in their showroom. So when they come to our showroom and see that we have Western Oklahoma furniture and we have what they've been looking for and they haven't seen it somewhere else, they get excited. They're happy. They'll say, gosh, I've been looking for a dining room set like this, and I've been all over the place, and I've been online, and I can't find one, and right here it is.
Terry's Furniture Showroom.
We're at 2001 South Main in Elk City, Oklahoma, right behind McDonald's.
The Exploring Energy Show with Sean and Butch.
And we're back, and with us is Attorney General Mike Hunter. Mike, are you there?
I am. Good morning, y'all.
Good morning, man. Glad to have you here, Mike. You know, it seems like you wake up every day something different, something new, something out of the norm, if you will.
And unfortunately, there's a lot of the same.
Well, you have to play the hand you're dealt sometime, right?
Yes, sir, you do. Yeah, you hope to draw to that inside straight, for crying out loud. I hear you. Mike, you know, there's a lot of sports fans that listen to this show, too, and I know that this the NCAA, in this OSU men's basketball program. Let's talk a little bit about what you know in that.
Well, the decision by the NCAA to throw the book at Oklahoma State over this renegade assistant coach that Coach Underwood brought from his previous coaching job down in Texas is just completely outside the realm of fairness and any kind of respect for the fact that Oklahoma State completely cooperated with the investigation. There were no benefits that occurred with regard to the Oklahoma State program. This guy took money with regard to recruiting, and the idea that we're going to be excluded from postseason play and lose scholarships over a guy that was, again, brought to Oklahoma State by Coach Underwood, who departed for Illinois a few years ago, if you'll remember.
Right.
There's really just no culpability for Oklahoma State. And the penalties imposed by the NCAA are unfair and, again, completely disconnected to any kind of misconduct by Oklahoma State. So I've degrees from both Oklahoma State and OU. I mean, I would have weighed in on OU's behalf if it would have been their program. But again, the idea that a state school can get wooled around like this by the dictatorship that's the NCAA, I just felt like our office needed to step in, and we worked hard on an analysis and sent a hot letter off to the president of the NCAA. I'm hopeful that they'll see reason and you know, allow us to participate in the playoffs next spring and give us those scholarships back. There's just no reason for us to be punished for the actions of somebody that Coach Underwood brought to Oklahoma State when he was there that one year.
Agreed. I think that, of course, you know, they always try to make an example out of somebody, and it's generally, you know, they go after programs, you know, like OSU, and just to make people think that they're doing their job, I guess. I don't know what the situation is, but I know that it seemed to be like, wow, man, that was some pretty stiff restriction, you know, placed upon OSU for no more than happened there. So, yeah. Well, thank you for stepping in on that on behalf of that, because and how long do you think it'll be before you hear anything? I mean, of course, I'm sure that's probably a crapshoot.
Yeah, I'm hopeful we'll hear something this summer. You know, I'm on the I'm privileged to be on the executive committee for the National Association of Attorneys General, and you know, we've had conversations about whether or not we need to have an investigation of how the NCAA does its work. So stay tuned on that front.
Okay, fantastic. Let's get on to this Julius Jones. I know a lot of people were following that. And you released a summary of trial transcript that shows the overwhelming evidence of guilt convicted death row inmate Julius Jones.
Well, society today has, at least in the last several years, there's been this cottage industry of, you know, filmmaker decides to do a documentary, and you know, if we tried people based on documentaries and PR campaigns, we wouldn't have much of a rule of law society.
Yeah, and Hitler would be innocent. I hear you.
Yeah, and the process that occurred with regard to the investigation of Mr. Jones' murder of Paul Howe couldn't have been more authoritative. Couldn't have been more decisive with regard to the evidence provided to the jury. I mean, the facts are Jones and an accomplice saw Howe in a very expensive SUV with his daughters and sister. They followed him home. They'd been out getting school supplies for his daughters. They followed him home, confronted him in his driveway, and shot him in the head as he sat in his car. Mr. Jones also fired a shot at the daughters and the sister as they ran into the house. There is testimony that the assailant had a red bandana and a white shirt with black trim. The bullet was connected to a gun found a few days later in the attic over Julius Jones' room, wrapped up in a red bandana. Subsequently, although the bandana wasn't tested for DNA back when the trial occurred in 2001, it was tested in 2018, and Mr. Jones' DNA was on the bandana. There's also been some discussion that there were racial remarks made by somebody during the jury. There's no evidence of that. One of the jurors complained about another juror making a provocative remark that wasn't racist. The judge interviewed all the jurors with regard to the remark. Nobody heard it. The complaining juror later confessed that he only heard part of a conversation and wasn't even sure it was about Jones. So later, the same juror said, yeah, well, I also heard a racial remark that this person made. So why would you complain to the judge about this provocative remark that wasn't racist, and then 20 years later, you remember, oh, well, he made a racist remark, too. So the alibis that Jones has tried to promote as a part of, you know, proving his innocence don't wash. He told his attorneys that he wasn't home with his parents the night of the murder, although his parents argue otherwise. He told his girlfriend he was in South Oklahoma City. So the evidence is as far as I'm concerned, clear and incontrovertible. I felt like I owed the public, and specifically the Mr. House family, the responsibility to set the record straight with regard to some of this misinformation that's out there. And so I was there for them. They're fine people. They've suffered enough over what's happened. And with this campaign out there and all this misinformation, I mean, they revisit that pain every day. So I felt like it was incumbent upon me to allow the public and the media to hear the true story. And I hope this puts some of this to rest.
Well, unfortunately, in society today, what you're going to see on the media is not necessarily going to be the facts and the truth of the matter. And we appreciate the fact, Attorney General Hunter, that you came out and brought the facts forth. And then the people can make up their own minds. They can look at the facts and decide what they want to believe and not, instead of letting the media
play it out.
Yeah, mandate what they're going to believe.
Yeah, Netflix is not the high court.
Thanks, Butch.
You bet, Mike. Thank you. I know that, Mike, a lot of things are happening as far as, you know, we've had someone from your office talk to us, and we've talked to you about the unemployment fraud. And, man, is it rife. I guess, you know, you hear things like that, and then you're like, oh, well, I've never, you know, I don't know anybody that's happened to. But goodness gracious. It seems like more and more people that I know. In fact, both of my daughters were hit by it, and they're teachers in the school system. I mean, they didn't get financially stung by it, but their stuff got sent to my house because 10 years ago that's where they were living.
So we've worked closely with the Oklahoma Employment Security Commission from a law enforcement standpoint, with the Secret Service and the OSBI, to try to get a handle on what's going on. Unfortunately, most of this stuff is occurring from overseas through the Internet. And in an effort to make these unemployment benefits as easily obtainable as possible to folks that qualify for them and need them, it also opened up an avenue for crooks to flood the state, you know, to flood small businesses with these applications and just make it almost impossible, you know, to manage the flow. And so the tragedy is, in an effort to try to interdict all this fraud and to make sure that, you know, you're working through these efforts to, in a criminal fashion, you know, try to obtain benefits, it slowed down our ability to deploy unemployment funds to folks that deserve them and qualify for them. So we've made progress, you know, working with the outside vendor that's handling the deployments of funds. So we hope that we've closed that avenue and that the flood of fraudulent applications is going to subside soon, because we've just, you know, that entity is there, and that support's there for people who at times like this need it and qualify for it, and that's got to be our priority.
Mike, I guess the other thing I wanted to ask you, and you might know, you might not know, but what is the legal recourse from someone who has been scammed? I mean, is it up to them to have to prove who they are? What is the average person who gets their identity stolen or gets filed against? What's their avenue? What can they do?
So we encourage people to go on our website and contact us about a situation where somebody is fraudulently attempting to obtain benefits, pretending, you know, to be the actual person. I mean, I had somebody file on me. I had somebody file on my son. So nobody's immune, and the tragedy, I guess, and what people need to face up to, and I hate to be such a gloom and doom messenger this morning, but there have been so many data breaches over the last several years that just about, you know, some information with regard to everybody is in the dark web.
Yeah.
And criminals work with criminals to get lists of people. And so it's important for folks to recognize that. I mean, you can buy on a fairly affordable basis these online services that will actually monitor activity in your accounts and give you a heads up when they see something untoward. So I hate it that that's the society we live in today, yeah. But the more you can do to protect yourself, to protect your finances and financial information, the better. And I just really suggest to folks that there are a lot of these different, again, monitoring applications. Right. I don't want to recommend one,
right.
But folks ought to consider investing in that.
Yeah, and, you know, that's going to basically, sadly, become like health insurance or car insurance. I mean, right. It's just something you're going to have because, you know, and then on the flip side of this deal, the only way to combat that is to make it face-to-face. Well, with the COVID situation, you know, nobody was face-to-face, you know, so it was everything was electronic. And these criminals, man, they're not no dumb hobos jumping in and out of train cars. These people are smart, and they recruit
diabolically smart, unfortunately.
The fortunate part about most of what is taking place in this unemployment scam, though, is the fact that the information was outdated. It was 10 years old.
Right.
So a lot of the monies, a lot of the cards that were sent out either went to dead addresses, dead post office boxes, or the post office box has gone to another owner since then. So therefore, it goes into a dead file and is returned. Or, as you said, your daughters came to the house.
Right.
So at least it was, you know, it could have been so much worse if it had been more up-to-date information that they'd gotten hold of.
Well, I don't feel bad. How much did they get off your unemployment there, Mike?
Zero.
But I tell you, it's not a smart criminal that goes after an attorney general's unemployment fund.
Well, which way did he go, Doc? Which way did he go?
Mike, I don't know. How tight is your schedule? Can you stick around and visit with us on the other side of this commercial timeout, or do you need to go?
Yes, sir.
Okay,
yes,
fantastic. Sir. We have State Attorney Mike General. Attorney General Mike Hunter with us this morning, and we're going to continue our visit with him right here on the Exploring Energy Show. We'll be back with more right after this.
Thanks.
The Exploring Energy Show with Sean Wilson and Butch Black.
If your car payment is so high you're having to skip meals, it's not much of a bargain. The next time that you or your spouse or your child needs a pre-owned vehicle that actually runs and that's pretty easy to finance at local banks, I want you to think about Fine Line Auto Sales. At any given time, Fine Line will have several cars, pickups, and SUVs that you can afford. After all, if you can't afford the vehicle you're trying to buy, nothing else matters. But if you've got a job, chances are you can afford these. Steve Jones scours Western Oklahoma for vehicles in good shape. Then he goes over every one of them and makes corrections and improvements where they need to be made. That's why you find clean vehicles that actually run on his lot. And whether you pay cash or you finance it at the bank, you still have enough money left each month to pay the rent and buy groceries and live your life. You can see every one of Fine Line's cars, pickups, and SUVs a mile and a half west of the Elk City Museum Complex on West 3rd Street. And you can see all of Fine Line's vehicles in the Penny News.
Myth: all cell phone providers have the same coverage. Fact: cell phone carriers are not created equal. Most carriers put their focus on national and metro areas, while employees at Pioneer Cellular puts their focus on you. At Pioneer, we have over 400 cell phone towers that are located where you need them the most. You're covered, and that's the truth. Call us today at 800-641-2732 or visit gopioneer.com to learn more about our coverage.
Hiring can be difficult, but if you're a company that's currently trying to hire, you face new difficulties. Housing Wire could relate. They needed to hire a reporter to cover the U.S. housing markets, so they turned to ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter's smart matching technology finds people with the right experience for your job. In fact, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. And that's how Housing Wire found Alexandra Roja. Alexandra never imagined she could get a reporter job in the midst of COVID-19 until she created a profile on ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter matched Alexandra to HousingWire's reporter job because she was a great fit for the role. HousingWire received her application only 4 hours after they posted the job. And a few weeks later, Alexandra started her dream career. ZipRecruiter helped HousingWire find the right person for their role fast.
See how ZipRecruiter can help you hire. Try it now for free at ZipRecruiter.com/free. That's ZipRecruiter.com/free.
Burning heat, but not burning your budget. This summer is blazing at Cummins in Weatherford. And right now, you can get a new 2020 Chevy 1500 with $6,000 in consumer cash. And the new 2020 Chevy Blazer has 12% off MSRP. So don't sweat it. Drive away in your new Cummins ride today. Cummins Cadillac Chevrolet Buick GMC in Weatherford, I-40 and Airport Road, and online at CumminsBPG.com. Chevrolet, find new roads. See dealer for details.
Sean Wilson and Butch Black with the Exploring Energy Show return now.
And we are back. We're back on the Exploring Energy Show, and we appreciate One Source Control, LLC. Terry Morse, guy's been around here a long time. Dean Talbot.
A year or two.
Yeah, a year or two. I mean, well, a long, long time. Not quite as long as
he and I worked together years ago at Fontaine Truck Equipment Company.
That's good stuff. And Dean Talbot, he's the owner of the Beaumont Manufacturing and Distribution Company, LLC, located in Beaumont, Texas. Anyway, One Source Control Products, LLC, is a factory-owned store, and that's what they needed here in Elk City, selling BMD products such as level controllers, control valves, relief valves, regulators, switches, pressure controllers, level gauges, gauge valves. Plus, the sizes, the end connections, and material combinations are tailored to each customer's specific needs. Let's face it, different companies have different manufacturing restrictions as well. It's time to cut out the middleman. Call at 522 South Main Street in Elk City. Stop by and see Kathy Reeder and Terry and all the good folks there. Or online at onesourceok.com. That's the number onesourceok.com. Or call 580-339-8058. Make One Source your one source for all production surface
equipment. Never been to
Beaumont? I've never been there.
Nice place.
Interesting
place. It really is.
Well, let's go to this interesting guest of ours. We have on the phone Mike Hunter. He's the Attorney General of the state of Oklahoma. And we're blessed to have him be a part of our show. And I tell you, Mike, we were just talking about some things in law. And, man, we came across this story, too, about the SCOTUS, you know, and then and a couple of convicted criminals and how it it plays on Indian land. Let's talk a little bit about that, Mike.
Well, life's complicated, gentlemen.
yes, it is.
Several years ago, a Native American convicted murderer named Murphy was able to have his case reviewed on the following basis. The reservations of the five tribes, particularly the Creek, Mr. Murphy is a Creek Indian, Muscogee Creek Indian, weren't disestablished when Oklahoma entered the Union back in 1907. So a lot of court activity around this. Originally, the district judge in Oklahoma City said no. Oklahoma became a state. Reservations didn't exist beyond statehood. The Tenth Circuit reversed the trial judge and said, reservations weren't disestablished. Congress wasn't specific about that. We went to the Supreme Court, and it appeared that one of the justices couldn't participate, Justice Gorsuch, and it appeared there was a 4-4 tie, we don't know that for sure, with the Murphy case. A second case found its way up the Supreme Court. A child rapist named McGirt, also Native American, crime occurred on, again, historic Creek reservation lands. Supreme Court heard that case. We argued it. It was our position, respectfully, that the reservations, if they existed, were disestablished at statehood. And in a 5-4 decision last week, the Supreme Court found that the reservation of the Muscogee Creek tribe still exists. And the import of that is that the state does not have jurisdiction, being over Native Americans who commit crimes on the Creek Reservation, which is essentially most of Tulsa County and then five or six counties sort of south and abutting Tulsa County. So that's the bad news. The good news is we have been in almost constant conversations with the five tribes in order to come up with a fix for this, if you will, that we are going to propose to Congress. Our work is principally done. We have an agreement that we're finalizing that we're going to send up to Congress that's going to resolve, that's intended to resolve these jurisdictional issues. So the proposal is that the state would have concurrent jurisdiction with the tribes and the federal government. I need to postscript this to let folks know that this decision is going to apply, we believe, to all the five tribes' territories, which is more or less the eastern half of the state, east of I-35. So we're hopeful of getting this up to Congress and getting this issue resolved. In the meantime, you know, we've got some issues with regard to jurisdiction, but we're working through them. I mean, we obviously don't agree with the decision, but as the old Asian proverb instructs us, light a candle, don't curse the darkness. So we've rolled up our sleeves with the tribes and with the U.S. attorneys and federal law enforcement, state and local officials, to work through some of the hiccups and hurdles that we're going to be dealing with until, again, we can get Congress to act.
Well, you can imagine that if something isn't done, that it'll become rife with crime
The issue here is not just so folks here, if you have interests on the east side of the state, almost no consequences with respect to civil law. Doesn't affect land titles. This decision doesn't. Doesn't affect existing contracts or oil and gas leases. The big challenges that it creates are in the criminal law arena.
Well, and I'm not even sure anymore, A.G. Hunter, do the five tribes, do they even have their Native American police anymore and their investigative services that they had during the reservation times?
Yeah, they've got the five tribes each have law enforcement capabilities. They have tribal courts. And the jurisdiction is a sort of a shared jurisdiction with regard to Native American crimes between the tribes and the federal government. And so it's not quite as simple as this, but for more serious crimes, the federal government has jurisdiction.
Right.
Over less serious crimes, the tribes have jurisdiction. Okay. So there's a template there that we can work through, but we're going to have some challenges. I don't want to minimize our challenges.
Well, Mike, anything else that's going on right now? I know the COVID situation and the governor, he's saying that local control is best. I mean, none of these things have made it to a court situation, right?
So I'll just say this: the public, if we were at war with an enemy outside our borders, and there was a plea for folks to do certain patriotic things, nobody would hesitate. The enemy that we face right now is invisible, and it is inside our borders. And I would just ask folks, as inconvenient as it is, to really think carefully and hard about the importance of social distancing, wearing a mask, and I can't tell you how much I hate it. Pay attention to using sanitizers. That's all science that has proven to be a way to, mitigate being exposed to the infection. I just don't see enough of that out there. And again, I hesitate, I guess, to make this request to people. But in states where they are getting a better handle on, I mean, our cases are still going up by a rate that's not acceptable. So that's my plea. Again, if we were at war, nobody would hesitate to do what's being asked of them with regard to being patriotic. And as far as I'm concerned, this is a war, and the enemy's invisible, and it's inside our borders. And the only way that we're going to get a handle on this until there's a vaccine is, again, just to try to manage how the infection spreads.
That is a very, very well put analogy. I'm serious. I mean, you're right. You know, if we were being invaded by an enemy outside our borders, we would all take arms and all follow the rule, you know. And now,
yes, sir.
This situation, and you're right, you know, and I just happened to cross a story about the first infant death in the state of Oklahoma because of COVID-19. So, you know, there's a lot of people out there that think this is not real, that it's something that the government has
I'm not saying it's tricked up. Real. I'm saying it has been misreported.
Well, I agree with that somewhat.
The numbers have been skewed.
But it's still something like A.G. Hunter just said that, you know, we need to be cognizant of and smart. And whenever this thing first happened, we saw a lot more people taking precaution because of the hysteria, the scare, basically. You know, and now I think a lot of those people are acting like it's not that big of a deal. But, you know, there are still people with autoimmune systems and respiratory issues that, you know, and the elderly that are susceptible to this situation. And it's a killer, no doubt about it. Mike Hunter, wow, man, I really appreciate you taking time out, man. I mean, I say it every time, but I mean, from my heart, I mean it, because our listeners are encouraged to hear from the man that's up there over a great team of people.
It's good to hear that things are being handled and that you're taking actions and so on and so forth that you don't get to see in the daily news and stuff. And it gives people heart to know that y'all are up there fighting the good fight.
And speaking of heart, my heart's always going to be in Western Oklahoma, just so y'all hear it.
All right, fantastic, man. Well, our heart's back with you, buddy. And if there's anything we can use our show to further any information or anything you got, man, I'm a phone call or an email away,
there
buddy.
There you go.
Right back at you, gentlemen.
Have a blessed day,
be
Mike.
Careful out there.
Keep fighting the good fight. Thank you, sir.
Bye-bye.
State Attorney General Mike Hunter, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be back with the mop-up segment of the Monday morning edition of the Exploring Energy Show on KWDQ and KECO.
Stay informed with the latest news from the energy industry with Sean and Butch on the Exploring Energy Show.
When you need pain relief, how do you know what works best?
We have it in the edible form, in concentrates, smokable, vapable, rub-ons, lotions. One might work great for me and the other doesn't work for you.
So how do you choose?
Well, we're very knowledgeable about the products we sell. We care about our patients, and not just patients, customers. We care about everybody. We want to help everybody.
Hemp Pill Dispensary is already helping people get relief.
We had a lady come in. She was walking with a walker, just could barely move, and she needed help. Told us what her ailments were, and so we looked it up and found what we thought would work for her. She went home and tried it, came back immediately in tears, not walking with her walker. Says first time in 7 years that she'd been able to stand up from the couch without a walker. Hemp Hill Dispensary, 3413 West 3rd, Elk City, Oklahoma. Tractor Supply, a quarter mile west of it.
We've put a lot of resources so that when you move off, whether it's temporary or permanent, you don't have to leave our bank. You know, with a cell phone, give us a call. We know your voice. We know who you are. There's no reason any longer to have to drop your account and move it somewhere else. You can take a picture of a check to deposit it now. Because of the way electronics works with apps that we have available, with all the tools that are available to a person, there's really no strong reason to leave your relationship that maybe you've built over several years. A lot of our tellers have been there for 30 years or longer. Our people in the call center that answer the phone calls have been there a long time. We know these people. You know, when they ask us for something, we know who you are. It's so comfortable. And you understand the person's business. When they bring in a deposit, you know how they like it written down. We write it down for them the way that they like it done. There's a lot to the relationships that you build over time, and I just think it's invaluable, and there's no reason that you'd have to stop just because of a move. I'm David Atkinson. I'm here to make a difference for our customers at First National Bank and Trust of Elk City and Sayre.
Member FDIC.
Hiring can be difficult, but if you're a company that's currently trying to hire, you face new difficulties. HousingWire could relate. they needed to hire a reporter to cover the U.S. housing markets. So they turned to ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter's smart matching technology finds people with the right experience for your job. In fact, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. And that's how HousingWire found Alexandra Roja. Alexandra never imagined she could get a reporter job in the midst of COVID-19 until she created a profile on ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter matched Alexandra to HousingWire's reporter job because she was a great fit for the role. HousingWire received her application only 4 hours after they posted the job. And a few weeks later, Alexandra started her dream career. ZipRecruiter helped HousingWire find the right person for their role fast.
See how ZipRecruiter can help you hire. Try it now for free at ZipRecruiter.com/free. That's ZipRecruiter.com/free.
The Exploring Energy Show with Sean and Butch.
Oh, yes.
I recognize those names.
Yeah, it is the Exploring Energy Show. Again, we just got through visiting with State Attorney General Mike Hunter. Really enjoyed that. This week we got, of course, Remember When Wednesday, and then Thursday, Professor Paul Michael Wiebe. That can't roll around quick enough for my taste. But
can we just do him every day?
Yeah, boy, we possibly could. I have to have the big voice guy add his name. Add Paul Michael Wiebe.
Hey, you and I could just sit back, drink coffee, and eat bonbons.
There you go. There's another situation that's happening. Osage Wind Farm battle still underway in Tulsa federal court. 6 years after the Osage Nation and the federal government went to court over a wind farm development, the case is still being heard in Tulsa, a federal court where a judge recently issued rulings. The case involves construction of a wind farm by Osage Wind, a company sued for not obtaining mineral permits to construct the wind farm and its 84 wind turbines in the country. In the county, pardon me, the tribe and the federal government filed suit contending the construction of the base of the wind towers constituted mining and the company had not obtained mining permits. Before the matter could be decided, the wind farm operated by Enel Green Power. Did I get that right, Jen? It's not Enel. It's Enel Green Power was completed and operational. In a 2017 decision, the 10th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals in Denver ruled that the construction, the crushing of rocks, and use of minerals constituted mineral development that required a federally approved lease. Since then, the government and the Osage Mineral Estate have attempted to file amended complaints and requests in the matter. In the matter, Osage Wind has objected in each case. The government wanted to amend its complaint to include a declaratory judgment to find the company several liable for damages resulting from trespass and conversion. As late as December of last year, the government wanted an accounting of any revenue Osage Wind had gained from the wind farm operation, something the company opposed in court. The government also sought to accuse Osage Wind of building the wind farm willfully and intentionally and in bad faith. But U.S. District Judge Gregory K. Frizzell denied the motion filed by the government. On a motion filed by the wind company against the efforts of the Osage Mineral Council seeking the profits of Osage Wind during the time of operation of the wind farm, Judge Frizzell ruled in support of the company, but he ruled the OMC could proceed with its claims and that the wind farm company trespassed on tribal land. You know, there for a while, there wasn't one wind turbine east of I-35.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, there for a long time. There were wind turbines out here in western Oklahoma, but there wasn't one wind turbine on the east of I-35. Since then, you know, there have been some wind farms crop up. I know just south of the Oklahoma-Kansas border, there's a few on the south side there, or on the east side of the road. And I think there's one or two down there in the mountains there by Arbuckle.
Yes.
As you come through the pass there, there appears to be a couple on the east side of I-35. But there for a while, there was a moratorium on the east side of the state that wouldn't allow them to do wind farms. And this case 6 years ago started, and that's back when there wasn't any. So I'm sure that's what this is all about.
Apparently Osage is a firm believer, and it's easier to ask for forgiveness than permission.
But now, do you agree with... That's a mining situation. I mean, I know they go in there and excavate and they pour concrete. That would almost mean anybody. I know, but that would almost mean that anybody that, you know,
you dig post holes,
put a driveway, put in a fence.
Yeah,
that's mining.
If you're gonna dig post holes, you're gonna be mining. Well, Who knows? I mean, I don't have a clue how deep they set those foundations and so on and so forth. But still, to come in and basically without permission to do this, I mean, they should be held liable. And that they should have to cough up some kind of monetary diligence to the state or to someone anyway. Because now I'm sure they're probably paying rent and damages on the property where they have it, I would hope.
So 3 meters deep and 21-meter diameter.
3 meters.
So that's a little over, 4 yards? I don't know.
Yeah, I'm not.
But still, that's, I mean, you're talking about, okay, well, a 3 meter is like a high dive. That used to be like a 3 meter board, you know, a regular high dive at a swimming pool to give you a visual. So that's about how deep they are. So, you know.
I don't see that it consists in mining, but.
Yeah, of course, you know, when you're looking for a loophole.
I also don't understand in Pennsylvania when you're exploring for oil why it's considered mining. Because,
yeah.
You know, because you're used to mining large borehole.
But it's mining. But it's mining in Oklahoma, too.
Yeah, you're bringing minerals from out of the ground. And so, you know, it's.
Yeah, who determines how big a mine has to be?
Yeah.
A mine, you know, in our head, yeah, a mine means something you can walk into.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you can fall into these.
Yeah,
I wouldn't recommend it.
Good call.
All right, let's look at a little weather.
Fish you out.
Yeah. Good luck. All right, for Woodward right now, it's 70 degrees. Humidity's at 83%. Wind speed southeast at 9 mph. Today's going to be sunny and hot. Imagine that.
No way.
Sunny and hot with a high near 103. Southeast winds 9 to 13. Tuesday, mostly sunny and hot with a high near 102. Southwest winds 6 to 11. Got a 20% chance of showers and thunderstorms Tuesday night. Wednesday, mostly sunny with a high near 94. All right. Getting back into regular temperatures.
Yeah, no doubt.
20% chance of rain Wednesday night. Thursday, partly sunny and hot with high near 99. Back into the 100s again. Friday will be 101, 102 Saturday, and 101 Sunday. All right, for the Clinton-Sherman area, it is 73 degrees. Humidity is at 84%. Winds are east at 16. And today's going to be sunny and hot with a high near 106. Whoa. South winds 10 to 16 with gusts as high as 23. Tuesday, mostly sunny and hot with high near 106. Southwest winds 13 to 18, gusts to 25, 20% chance of showers and thunderstorms Tuesday night. Wednesday, partly sunny and hot with high near 100. South winds 7 to 10. Thursday, sunny and hot with high near 101. Basically the same 101 Friday, 102 Saturday, 101 Sunday. Jeez. This maybe global warming.
You think that's global hotting for crying out loud. I know Saturday my truck thermometer read 110 degrees.
Yeah, I don't even look at mine anymore because I don't want to know. I know the other day when we were in that creek bottom with no wind blowing and my truck was showing 104 that I was one miserable man. All right, stocks. Earn the red just like oil and gas. AEP is down 18 cents to $83.97. Apache Corp's down 31, $12.40. Chaparral Energy's down 9 cents to 55 cents a share. Continental Resources is down 34, $15.69. ConocoPhillips is down 44 to $39.27. Devon Energy's down 27 to $9.92. Enable Midstream is down a nickel, $4.39. General Electric's down a penny, $6.68. Halliburton is down 17 to $11.90. H&P is down 38 cents to 18.30. Laredo Petroleum is down 11, 12.11. Magellan is down 38 cents to 40.64. Oh, OG&E is up 6 cents to 31.02.
There you go.
One Oak is down 15 cents, 26.57. Panhandle Royalty is up 12 cents to 2.61. Phillips 66 is down $1.24, 59.82. Sandridge is up a penny, $1.32. Schlumberger is down 20, 17.59. Williams Company is up 2 cents, 1857.
West Texas Intermediate, WTI, on the New York Mercantile Exchange, trading down 39 cents, but still north of 40, $40.16 on the August 2020 contract. Brent crude on the ICE Futures Exchange, September 2020 contract, trading down 37, but $42.87 per barrel. Tonkan crude oil in Japan, down 20 yen per kiloliter. And NYMEX natural gas, down 2 cents. To $1.79 per million BTU. Hope you enjoyed our show today with Attorney General Mike Hunter. We'll be back again tomorrow morning with another edition of the Exploring Energy Show. For Butch Black and Jen Brusky, I'm Sean Wilson. Thanks for listening. I promise we'll talk again. You're tuned to KWDQ in Woodward or KCO in Elk City. Have yourself a great day. Stay hydrated out there.